मुकं करोति वाचालं अंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपात्तमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। I bow down to Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, through whose grace the lame scale mountains and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our lives. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace. Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, Purushottama Yoga, the way to the Supreme Self. Purushottama, the Supreme Purusha, the Supreme Self. Purusha, Pura, Puri means city. Sha means Shete, the person who dwells, who sleeps in the city of the heart. That is the Atma, the Brahman. He is God. That Purusha is the Supreme One. There is another meaning of Purusha. Purusha means he who fulfills, who fills up everything. That is Brahman, the all-pervading Brahman. Say Purusha, Krishna says, Yasmat ksharam atitu aham ksharadopi chottam ato usmi loke vedecha prathita purushottama. As I surpass the perishable and as I am higher even than the imperishable, I am extolled in the world and in the Vedas as the Supreme Self. Verse 18. Kshara and Akshara. Kshara means the effect. Kshara means the perishable objects in this universe. And Akshara means imperishable, invisible, causal. Means abhyakrita maya, prakriti. Krishna says that I am beyond this manifested universe which you see. And akshara dopi cha uttama, akshara, cosmic maya, the seed of this jiva and jagat, the seed of this universe and human and beings, is that unmanifested maya. Well, I am higher than maya, and I am known in this world as well as in the scriptures as Purushottama, the Supreme Self, God. Embraces his own maya and takes the form of the world as well as beings. That Krishna mentioned in the fourth chapter. Ishvara Parama Krishna, God is that Supreme Self. Satchidananda Vigraha, his real form is Satchidananda. He is God. Kshara, another meaning is dynamic, and Akshara is static. But Purushottama is eternity in motion. This is the mystery of Purushottama. Do you know what is the mystery? Mystery, he is Nirgun, but he becomes Shagun and plays. That is Purushottama. That infinite God plays through his maya, plays through his devotees. That is the mystery. He is without adjuncts, without attributes. At the same time, he takes a sweet, beautiful form with a view to tasting his own bliss. As we standing in front of a mirror, a person enjoys his or her own beauty, So God takes these multiple forms and enjoys His powers, His beauty, His leela. As same God becomes snake and bites the person, same God again becomes a doctor and cures that person. Everything is His play. When He is without attributes, He is submerged in His own self. He is one without a second. He is God. And again, He manifests Himself as an avatar and plays with His devotees. From Vedantic standpoint, we divide this Purushottama in this way. First, Brahman. Nirgun Brahman. Brahman without attributes. Then when Brahman and its Maya power becomes identified, then it is always identified, it is always there, but manifests. When the Maya manifests in Brahman, then that Nirgun Brahman becomes Shagun with qualities. That is called Ishvara, God. Again, that Shagun Brahman becomes Hiranyagarbha, sum total of the causal bodies. No, sum total of the subtle bodies. Again, that Hiranyagarbha takes the form of Virat Purusha, this gross manifested form. As we see from the cosmic level, these are the four stages of the same reality. Similarly, human beings, we have a form which is called Vishwa, this gross flesh and bone. This is connected with Virat, cosmic God. Again, we have a subtle body, mind, senses, prana, intellect, all these mixed together form a subtle body. That subtle body is the part of that Hiranyagarbha, which is the sum total of all subtle bodies. Then we have a causal body, which we experience in the dream, in dreamless sleep. That subtle body, that causal body is connected with Ishvara. We find in the Chandogya Upanishad, a soul goes samprasado in deep sleep, and jyoti rupasampadda. At that time, his form becomes luminous, and that luminous form is Brahman. Every day we reach God, but we come back without knowing God. In dreamless sleep, we reach that God state, Ishvara state, but we come back without knowing God, because we go through tamas, through sleep. We can reach that state through meditation and experience the Self, experience God. The physical sheath, the mental sheath, and the vital sheath, and the mental sheath. These three sheaths are connected with that Kshara Purusha, the perishable Purusha. And the intellectual sheath is connected with Akshara Purusha, imperishable Purusha. And the blissful sheath is connected with Purushottama, God. This Purushottama is separate from the material things, matter, and also it is separate from the living things also. Shankara defined Kshara means Shankara Mayaviksho Akshattam Otikrantu Aham. Kshara means the manifested tree, Ashwatta tree, which Krishna mentioned in the beginning of this chapter. And Akshara means that unmanifested, that seed of the tree. You see, we are all connected with that mysterious tree, whose root above, branches below. That tree is called Maya tree, the tree of Samsara. This is our, to reach that Purushottama is our goal. Supreme Self here is Purushottama, after which the chapter is named, the highest ideal we can have. Even without talking about spiritual values, it can be said that most of the meaninglessness in modern life comes from our having no ultimate purpose, no overriding goal. The strongest argument I can offer against personal pleasure and profit is that they cannot function as a goal. And without a comprehensive purpose, events cannot make sense to us. Incidents cannot be related to a whole. We don't have a framework for making wise choices. That is why every one of us has a crying need for the highest ideal, on which we can keep our eyes always. Whenever we wander, we can still find our way back. All of us, being human, are likely to make mistakes in life. But when we have a great purpose that transcends passing, personal satisfactions, a goal that rises high above the horizon, like the pole star, we need not get lost and wander in the maze of our mistakes. By keeping our eyes on this shining ideal, we can retrace our steps, correct our error, and continue to pursue our journey until we reach the goal. Swami Vivekananda pointed out, a person without an ideal makes 50 mistakes, and a person with ideal makes perhaps 5 mistakes. So the ideal in life is very important. Where is your goal? Where will you go? You see, money or friends or home cannot be the goal of human life. The pursuit of wealth is often placed before us as a goal. Most of us know people who launched some enterprise with the best of intentions and then slowly got possessed by the profit motive, losing all visions of life. There is nothing wrong with a fair profit on a beneficial product or service. But without a higher goal, there is no point of reference to warn you when the profit motive begins to lead you into activities and ways of living that can wreck your life or the lives of others. Anyhow, the goal is Purushottama that Krishna said in this 15th chapter. In verse 19, Yo mameva sangmudha janati purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajuti mam sarvabhavena bharata. He who undeluded knows me thus as the Supreme Self. He knows all, O Bharata, and he worships me with all his heart. One of my brothers was asking Swami, what will you talk about tonight? I said, well, Krishna is too much demanding. He always says, love me, give up everything to me. He's a divorce case, you see. He would be divorced in this country in no time. Always say, love me, and give up, give everything to me. You, mam, evam, asangmudho. Asangmudho means undeluded person. Janati, knows whom. Purushottama, he who knows this Supreme Self. Sa sarvavid bhajati imam sarvabhavena bharata. He bharata sarvabhavena, wholly, in various ways. Worship me. How to worship God? There are two ways. The first way is atmanivedan, offer yourself to God. And the second way, sambandhasthava, establish a relationship with him. You see, it is very important to establish a relationship with the chosen ideal, with God. You will never feel lonely in your life if you can do that. A atmanivedan, a offering yourself to God, there is little action in it. Nishkriya, just surrender. Lord, you do whatever you want to do. There is very little action there in that aspect. But sambandha sthapan, if you want to establish a relationship with God, you will have to be active. There is action. At that time, we open ourselves to God and we let God to be inside. We make the room for God to get in. Inside our heart. At that time, he becomes our own. First, we enter inside God, and then God enters inside us. When we enter God, that means we sacrifice ourselves to God. And when God enters into us, means at that time I have a relationship with him. My everything is yours. You now get in. You see, this aspect is very mysterious. What do you mean, Swami? Toward the end of his life, Saint Francis of Assisi asked his companions to stay behind while he went up into the wild, secluded heights of Laverna for solitary prayer. After some 30 days and nights, just before sunrise, he entered a state of deep ecstasy. What the Hindu mystics would call samadhi, union with the Christ within. In that supreme state, he prayed fervently for two favors. The first, that I may, as far as it is possible, feel in my soul and in my body the suffering which thou, O gentle Jesus, sustained in thy bitter passion. And the second, that as far as it is possible, I may receive in my heart the overflowing love that moved thee to suffer so much for us. So complete was his identification with the Christ, the chronicles say that he experienced both the unutterable joy of complete love and the other side of that love, the cruelty of the wounds which Jesus suffered on the cross. This complete identification is the meaning of samadhi. Those who attain it feel the joys and sorrows of others exactly as they would their own. They suffer and rejoice with all. The rest of us, less evolved, mere, more self-centered, more separate, are scarcely aware of the full extent of suffering around us. The more separate we feel, the easier it is to forget about others' troubles. Ignore the tragedies that surround us all and bury ourselves in the pursuit of personal satisfaction. The more you grow in selflessness, the more deeply you will feel the sorrow that throbs at the heart of life. But this is not a paralyzing sentimentality. Wherever you see suffering, you will have to do something to relieve it. You will never throw up your hands at the magnitude of a problem and say, "There is nothing I can do. The world is going to pieces. Let it go." Your deep identification with all of life will release the resources to go to the causes of sorrow and devote your life to alleviating it. This we find in the lives of the mystics. They get million units of joy, million units of suffering. There is a famous saying of Rontideva in the Bhagavatam, "God, is there any way that I may enter the inside of all human beings and carry the pain of those people?" We find in Swami Vivekananda's life, one day he was walking through the street, and a girl was carrying a bunch of firewood on her back in Darjeeling, which is a hill station. And she stumbled and fell. Immediately, Swamiji cried out, "Oof, pain, pain, pain." That girl's pain came to his heart. It shows that person experienced cosmic consciousness. his heart unites with everything, with everything. That Krishna says, Sarva Bhavena Bharata, O Arjuna, you will have to worship me wholly in every way. Sarva Bhavena we can interpret through karma, through jnana, through bhakti, through yoga, through all four yogas, worship me. He becomes Sasarbhavi, he becomes all-knowing. If you worship me in that way, you will become all-knowing. There are two Sanskrit words we come across, Sarvabhit and Sarvajna. He knows, Sarvabhit means he knows individually, Sarvajna means he knows collectively. He knows everything. How? Because he knows God. If you know God, you will know everything. Brahmavit, Brahma Bhavati. Nuara Brahman becomes Brahman. So he becomes all-knowing. But does he know how many stars in the sky, how many fish in the ocean? That question was asked to Sri Ramakrishna. He said, try to understand in a rational way. He said, if you cook rice, if you press one rice, you know immediately the entire rice is cooked in the cooking pot. Do you press the all particles of rice? Similarly, this avatar of Nuara Brahman knows. But if you try to interpret in that way, you know, it is not proper. But yeah, I think he can say, or he can say, then you go and count. He can say that 10 billion stars in the sky. Well, how do you know? Will you go and count? Or 5 billion fish in the Pacific. Well, how do you know? Will you go and count? He knows. First be, and then first be united with God. Then God will be united with you. First be your devotee. Then he will be your all in all. You can see this way. A pitcher full of water does not make any noise. A pitcher, empty pitcher also does not make any noise. When the pitcher is half or half full or one fourth full or three quarter full, water moves in the pitcher. If you shake, it will move. Similarly, when a person is full, does not make any noise. At that time, he becomes silent. When a person loves God with devotion, he transcends the three gunas and becomes one with Brahman. Krishna mentioned this in the 14th chapter. Iti guishatamam shastram idam uktam mayanaka itad buddhva buddhiman syat krita krittasya bharata. Thus, O sinless one, has this most profound teaching been imparted by me? By knowing it, a man becomes wise, O Bharata, and fulfills all his duties. Krishna used two adjectives in this verse, anagha, Bharata. Anagha means sinless one. Bharata means, O the descendant of Bharata dynasty. Krishna is telling Arjuna that these teachings of the Atman cannot be imparted to the impure souls. I know very well you, that you are very sinless. And Krishna reminded him that you belong to the Bharata dynasty. Bharata. Bha means light, Rata means immersed. Bharata means the person or a country which is immersed in the light is called Bharata. So your mind dwells in that light, you are sinless. So you will understand this mystery of the Atman, Pujyatamam Shastram. He says, the secret teachings of the scriptures, you will understand, which I have told you in this chapter. Understanding this, O intelligent one, you will fulfill, you will achieve the fulfillment of your life. Now, Krishna mentioned Guhyatamam Shastram, profound truth. Why was it profound? Because it speaks about transcendental things. That is the purpose of the scripture. Ajnatam Gapakam Shastram, the thing which makes us the unknown known is called the scripture. The sun rises in the east and the sets in the west. Nobody will have to tell me that. I don't need any scripture to learn that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. I know it. I see it. So the purpose of the scripture is to make us known the mysterious aspects of life which we do not know through other means. Such as, where do I come from? Where shall I go? What is the mystery of life? The law of karma, reincarnation. Then, God, Brahman, Maya, why do we get deluded? There are many mysteries in human life we do not know. The scripture makes us known all those things. Makes us know all those things. So it is Guhyatamam, which is very profound, mysterious, the Shastra. Guhyatamam, Nirgun Purusha. Nirguno guni purushottama. Ei purushottama, a supreme self, which we have discussed, is nirgun, is devoid of qualities, formless, but takes form, accepts the gunas, manifests as a human being, and plays in this world. It is a mystery. Swamiji composed a hymn on Sri Ramakrishna. Khanyana bhava vandana jagavandana banditumai niranjana nararupadhara nirguna gunamai. Tumi nirguna, without qualities. Again, tumi gunamai. You are with qualities. Both you are. You are both. When you merge into samadhi, you are beyond the gunas. When you come back from samadhi, you are with qualities. You behave like human beings. You talk, you eat, you sleep. You impart teachings. You give advice to the people. Just like other people. Again, you transcend all these activities. You live in inactive state of samadhi. Again, you become active state in this world. You are both. That is the mystery. Uchistam sarva shastrani sarva vidya mukhi mukhi nachistam brahmano jnanam abhyakta chetanamayam. We are now talking about the shastra. Gujhutamam guhyatamam shastram shastra. First I told you, the purpose of the scripture is to make us the unknown known. And now this scripture, this atmavidya, everything has been defiled, has been expressed, but this Atman cannot be expressed. So it is mysterious. Can you tell what is the Atman? One day somebody asked Sri Ramakrishna, sir, tell us about Brahman. Brahman, 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 Brahman. He fell down, merged into samadhi. I want to say, but his mother, you know, presses my tongue. I cannot speak to you. A Guhyatamam, mysterious thing, which cannot be expressed through the senses, which cannot be known through the intellect, which cannot be known through hearing, speaking, learning. This Brahma Vidya cannot be expressed. Well, sir, then what is the use of that Brahma Vidya? of that knowledge of the, that Atma Vidya. You will attain immortality. That's this. Abhyakta, that unmanifested, conscious knowledge, Chaitanya Brahma. No system, nobody can express it. Sri Ramakrishna told this to Vidyasagar, that everything has been defiled, but not Brahman. Nobody can say what it is. Matter of experience. Shastram. There are various kinds of scriptures. Shruti, the Vedas are the scriptures. Bible, Quran, Zindavesta. These are all scriptures. Smriti scriptures. Smriti means man-made scriptures which guide the duties of human beings. The duties of a monk, duties of a householder, duties of a mother, duties of a father, duties of children, duties of a teacher, duties of a priest. Duties of every human being has been mentioned in the Smriti Shastra, which guides the society, rules the society. As the lawmakers, you know, the senators, the congressmen, they make laws to guide the political aspect, social aspect of the people. Similarly, the spiritual aspects and also social aspects, political aspects, also guided by the scriptures. You see, in America, you don't have that script, that type of scripture, Smriti. Then darshan, philosophy, Purana, mythology, Mahakavya, epics, Bhagavad Gita, Tantra, these are all scriptures. Nowadays, people don't care for the scriptures. The scriptures do not sell well, you see. The paperback, fiction, novels, those books will sell. They are best sellers. People don't hesitate to buy $20, $22 a big fiction, but they will calculate to buy scriptures. What good is this book? To experience the self is the goal of all scriptures. I shall tell you an ancient Indian story about the scriptures. There was a great sage named Bhojaraja. He was a king, but he was a yogi. And he had a grandson who was considered like Solomon, a great, pious, righteous king named Vikramaditya. Vikramaditya died. He was a king of Ujjain in the central part of India. He died. His son Matadaitya became the king. And now when he died, his body was taken to the cremation ground and a Buddhist monk was there. He was a yogi. He knew how to enter the dead body. So that Buddhist yogi entered into the dead body of Matadaitya and became alive. So the people are very happy that the king got back his life, so they brought him back to the kingdom. And again he continued to rule the country. But this Buddhist yogi had a motive. He ruled the country for some years, then he called his ministers and said, invite all the scholars of India and ask them to bring here these scriptures. All the scriptures they must bring to Ujjain. And I shall perform a sacrifice. All these scholars will decide which sacrifice is the best. So I shall perform that sacrifice. So on the bank of a river, a big pandal was built. And the messengers went all over the country and brought all the pundits and they carried their scriptures. Then the king said, please put all the scriptures in this place, in the Mahesh, near the bank of the river. He built a special altar for the scriptures. And he said to the Panjits, you know, now you please go and for tapasya for a certain time. And then you come back and then decide. So when the Panjits are out, the king went there and set fire in this scripture and burnt all these scriptures. When the Panjits came back, found that all the scriptures are burnt into ashes. So they are very unhappy about it. The king also felt bad. He said, I am sorry that this, you know, fire came, you know, it is not in our hand. He purposely did it. Then King Bhauja, he was a yogi. He was thinking, my goodness, my grandchild did this type of terrible thing. Then through his meditation, he came to know and consulted the astrology and found that Matadita, that real king, is not there inside. It is a Buddhist yogi is living inside his body. So you see, yogis can enter in somebody's body, dead body. Anyhow, so he asked some scholar to perform another sacrifice which can destroy the parokaya, the soul who enters in other's body. So they did it. So Matadita immediately died. Then he called all the Panjis and collected all the scriptures again and told them that whatever you have memorized, please recite and let us record it. And all these things have been recorded, and the book which came out of that effort is called Kamadhenu Dhenu Smriti. Kamadhenu, a mythological cow which fulfills all the desires of the people. The Kamadhenu Smriti was compiled by Bhojaraja with the help of these Pandits. In India, they have so much colorful stories about some people say, Idam Gujyatamam Shastram, Shastra. Shastra, scriptures are very difficult and it is dry. This is the two common complaints against the scriptures. It is dry, it is difficult. But we fictions are very nice, you see. The moment you start, you will not leave it. Your eyes may get pain, but you won't leave it. First, those who say that it is dry, they have not read. If you read, you will get juice, bliss, joy. And those who say it is kothin, difficult, they are lazy. They do not like to penetrate inside the scriptures. The scripture talks about Satchidananda, existence, knowledge, bliss, absence. The book which deals with bliss, it can it be dry and difficult? You see, our brains are not trained. We are not trained enough to understand the scriptures. First, we don't have any interest. Second, our intellects are weak. We don't have any interest. Secondly, our intellects are weak. They are not strong. To me, your physics, math, electronic, you know, give me dizziness. But I understand the scriptures. Physics, all this terminology, you know, math, extremely difficult to me. The main thing is this, that what is your choice? You select whatever you want. This scripture is to be heard. Shrutebhyo. Shrutivakyebho. Listen to this scripture first. Then think about it through reasoning. And after understanding the scripture, meditate on the God, which the scripture puts before us. That is the Atman, Brahman, God. That is the purpose of reading the scriptures, to experience the Self. So that is called Gujshatamam Shastram, which is the very secret scripture. Secret knowledge, profound teaching of the scripture, which I have told you, O Arjuna. If you know it, if you understand it, if you comprehend it, krita kritishya bharata, your life, the purpose of your life will be solved. The purpose of life. What is the purpose of life? Birth and death. All human beings are subject to birth and death. Then what is the purpose to be a human being? Why are we here? Ask this question to yourself. Why are you here? We have food, get some money, have some children. Is it all? And then be old and get aches and pain and leave this world. That's it. All beings are passing through that stage. Is it the purpose? Is it the goal of human life? Jivan mukti sukha prapti hita vijanma dharitam atmana nitya mukti nanatu samsaro kamyaya. A soul is born to enjoy the bliss of a living free. Otherwise, the Atman is ever free. It has no other purpose to be born as a human being to fulfill any kind of desire or motive. Krita Krita. Krita Krita means, I am full, I have no more desires. Who can say that? Only Jivan Mukta, ever free, ever illumined soul. I have no desire. I have achieved what I wanted to achieve in my life. That is God. I am full. So in this 15th chapter, Krishna taught Arjuna how to cut that imperishable tree, Samsara Vriksha, this bondage, this Maya, with the sharp acts of non-attachment. And then, if you can do that, then you will attain Purushottam, the Supreme Self. You will have to cut that bondage, that Maya, which tied you, which bound you in this world, that you will have to cut. All right, you can ask me questions. This simple phrase was a favorite of the Buddha, of the Buddhas too, that which was to be done has been done. No grand poetry, no trumpets, no philosophy, just a quiet statement that life's supreme purpose, the goal of millions of years of evolution, has been attained. The implication is sobering. Until we reach this state, nothing has been done. If you come and tell Sri Krishna that you have won the Irish sweepstakes, climbed Annapurna without a Sherpa, become the first woman to venture beyond Mars, he would say, that is not what has to be done. You have not accomplished what you are here for. Once you have done what has to be done, you have no interest in making money, therefore you do not exploit others or pollute the environment. Greed has left you, and so have anger and fear. You are no longer interested in your personal pleasure, so you are not capable of selfish attachment. You see life clearly, and you will not do things simply because they please you. There is nothing more you can want from life. Nothing more that life can offer you, except the opportunity to give. So sarvakarmakilam partha jnani purishamaptati. All actions cease to function when that supreme knowledge, the knowledge of the self, dawns in the heart. Ma sato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrittor ma amritam gamaya, avir avirma yedhi, rudra yate dakshinamukam, inamam pahi nityam, om shanti shanti shanti. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence.